Good afternoon. As Wayne just told you, I am Marcia, and I have some really to tell you today. I've been praying for every one of you since they asked me to teach this, and I don't even know you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying that the words that I say can help. And you know what? Every one of you has a problem in some aspects. We all do. I'm going to ask you to hold your comments to the end. I know y'all have been listening and listening. I do want to hear what you say, so in order to do that, we've got to fly. And I've asked you to find these verses. If you haven't found them all yet, you can find them as we talk about them. First one that I want to talk about is 1 John 2, 15-17. My topic is love not the world. And I'm going to read the scriptures myself for the sake of time, flip through and mark them. The reason I want you to mark these, that you girls are old enough to meditate on scriptures. And that's more than reading. That's really thinking and understanding and applying these things. And so I had 29, so I've cut it down to 5, that hopefully after we're through today, you go home next week, you'll see those little sticky notes that I gave you. In your lesson books that you have printed, I didn't do mine exactly like everybody else's. I left blanks. If you have some time and you want to really dig some more, takes a long time. It took me a couple of days, an hour or two a day. Write the scriptures down in here. They flow. So I won't have time to cover all these today. There is no way. So I want you to have them, and then maybe if you have time on your own, take that time and study them. Write them down. Look at them. Let's look at 1 John 2, 15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. But that's a direct command, isn't it? Do not love the world. God had a plan. He had a plan. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Yes, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your doing. Be holy, for I am holy. God's got a plan. Don't love the world. Love me, God. Love me, says God. Show that love by me. And he says, this is a funny verse. Gird up the loins. First of all, what are your loins? Loins are from the bottom of your ribs to this area right here. New American Standard says, prepare your minds for action. But I think gird up your loins might be a better translation. I wore this skirt for a demonstration. They wore long flowing skirts. The men and the women, they wore long robes. And they took the bottoms of their robe when they had to go to work. And they brought these robes up and they pulled it up here. Belt, a sash, and they tied it around their waist to go to work. They girded themselves to clothes and to lift something heavy. Those black, have y'all ever seen them? Those black things that go around their waist, or maybe people at Walmart have it. It looks kind of like a brace. They're girding their loins. It's where your powerhouse is, your strength. And they accelerate their strength by bracing it. And that's what that is, girding your loins. This is so strange. Gird up the loins of it means get ready to work. Get ready to work. This verse also said, doesn't just mean drinking. Girding up your loins of your mind and your being, that everything. And the last thing, rest your hope. So you're girded for work. Your mind is girded for work. Over. Clear. I don't think that would ever show a need for drinking alcohol, taking Dever, because we're going to be sober. But it also means focused on what we're supposed to be focused on. So, the last thing here is rest your hope. So, we're working sober, and we've got... So, God had a plan. Made man upright. He made men good. Psalms 139, 13 through 16 tells me that all of you are wondrously made, fearfully and wonderfully. You are special. And so is everyone else that is born into you. Every soul is, and you are born upright. But you know what? Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, God made man upright, but they have sought out men's scheme. We've got all these schemes. Schemes are from the devil. They're from the devil. This physical earth, there's the physical, there's the spiritual. The devil has three tools, and they are the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those three tools. It has three, and they're hard to identify. Do you know what? God's word guides you to holiness. So how these schemes are out here, these three things that are in the world, they're out there. But there's got to be a way to escape them, or God just doesn't love us. Be holy. Love me. How? Look at Ephesians 3, 16 through 20. I ask you to mark that one. Read that one. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. There's that strength again. Through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that sounds like strength again, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within. So we notice here in this verse, it's the inner man that's got to be strengthened. You got to be strong on the inside. And notice that it says the saints will comprehend the width, length, depth. Saints can know it. The world does not know. They have no idea. But you know, if you are a child of God, know what is the width, breadth, the height. That's telling you, it gives you a peace because you can see you see more than the physical world. Right now, all of y'all are learning. You're in high school. You're in college. Learning. You may be studying Aristotle, Plato, Einstein. They know a lot of things. They're smart men. They're geniuses. But true wisdom is from God. True wisdom is from the Word. We have to say, so study all you can right now. Learn all you can. But remember, the wisdom that trumps all of these. So, and it comes through the power. And the power, does that mean miracles? Are we doing Romans 1, 16, 17 says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God's salvation. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Do you realize what you have in your lap? Do you realize what you have? The Creator of the universe has given you, He talks to you. It's not going to come down and zap you in the brain and some night. You're not going to have visions. You've got it in a book. You know what? You can go to Dollar Tree and get one of these books. That's amazing. That it's the instruction from the creation, the Creator. It's a wonderful, powerful tool. So every time you come and you listen, every time you pick up your Bible, and I know that's a simple thing, but Romans 1:20, if the gospel is the power, Romans 1:20 is a verse that we think about. Well, what about if I'm not holy? What about the people that are not holy? Let's read this. For since the creation of the world, invisible attributes are clearly being understood by the things that are made. Even though brilliant atheist, all about the universe, and has studied all the great philosophers, is going to say on Judgment Day, I didn't know there was a God. They can't say it. Because what does Romans 1:20 say? It says, nature proclaims God. If they don't have a Bible, and when they do, they're going to search. The honest, pure in heart is they see. Surrounded. We're surrounded by evidence of God's existence. You can't go anywhere in our solar system and get away from this power. Evidence. I went to the Temple Garden over in Huntsville with one of my dearest friends. She's 70. We were there, and it was a spring day, and the garden. The sky was blue. All the trees were blooming. The flowers were just absolutely magnificent. And she said, standing there, you know, it kind of found something. And she thought about that. And that is a really... I think these flowers are this one. They're incredible.
hostas, ferns, or ferns, different kind of ferns. Creeping genius. You know, when God made plants, these are still the seeds that keep growing and the plants, things that he started. They're not the originals, but you know what I mean. Those plants he planted, they're beautiful. People are beautiful. Nature, creation is beautiful. Rain that falls and cycles on the earth, it's from God. And when we look at it, we need to see God. God had what they liked. Didn't get what it needed. It needed to stay out of food you need. All people. Evidence every. Going to get away from it. The reason the flowers were so lovely that day is because they were blooming. They were growing just as he wanted them to grow. God gave them light, water, food. They glorify him just because of him. And you know what? Oregano, if I forget, you probably not. Plants are for food. But plants are for food for the animals. But plants also. And they, the ones that look the best, are the ones that are getting what they need. Food God gave them. So, when you look at a plant, when you don't just say, that's just a green plant. Have you ever looked at a weed? They're interesting. There's a lot of weeds everywhere. They're interesting. They're from God. I want you to look at the last page in this section. You got the page number. It is page... Well, where is it? Here we go. It is page 30 in your book. Yeah. I want to read this quote. When was the last time we lingered long over the pages of the Bible because we just couldn't stop admiring the honey flavor of an ancient truth? If the Bible is the story of the only infinite good, why do we spend so much time at lesser tables? Feasting on God's word is as foreign to most Americans as an inn. Why do we choose the more mild flavors of money, sexual immorality? It can be tasted and seen that every finite pleasure and satisfaction is meant to point us toward the infinite pleasure and satisfaction. My admiration for a sunset then need not stop at the horizon. Rather, it can curve upward into praise and gratitude. Every creature, animals, show God. Are made holy. That's what he wants. Seen. When you see a drug addict, when you see a prostitute, you might see one. When you see an immodestly dressed girl, you see that person who cuts you in front of you in traffic. What God wants you to see. The unseen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So flowers, plants, sun, gold, silver, clothes, your house, everything physical that exists in this realm that we are in, every one of us. Psalms 11, 4 through 5. His eyelids test the son of men. The Lord tests the righteous. So, bad people, drug addicts get put in jail and that's their punishment. But what happens when I lose my job? Every person has tensions. God wants to see. If you can see, you to be holy in all the things that life throws at you every day, every hour is a total sin. All of you, even your thoughts, even your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and obedience. You mean everything I think has directed upward to glorify God? Yeah, yeah. I'm smarter than others. I just don't even. Look at that car. Look at that car. Brand new car. She got a brand new car. I wish I had her body. I'm saying talking to that girl. Then people are going to. I'm not popular. Larger thoughts, girls. Those are not physical sins. That's how the devil tested Israel. 40 years they wandered in that wilderness. 40 years. Moses had it all. He gave it up. He could live in a path what God wanted. Jesus, when he was tempted, Matthew 4, verse 3, the devil says, command these stones. Jesus was starving. Best I've ever been starving. I say it. I say I was starving. He was starving. Lust of the flesh. Throw yourself off the temple. Get out, smart God. You're smarter than God. Pride of life. Oh, you have all of these riches, God, of the Jesus of the whole world.
The devil was tempting. Same thing he tempts us.
And we all know what he answered with.
What about when Jesus was on the cross?
He was thirsty.
He was hungry.
He was in pain.
In front of women. Hung him up.
He was bleeding. Awful.
Family pride about his poor mother.
He hadn't done anything wrong.
And his mother is standing there watching him being crucified.
Pride of life.
Pride of life would want him to go and get his mother. Who wants to hurt their mother?
But come down and swipe them all.
Kill them all right then. Vengeance is mine. I will repay.
Isaiah 50, verse 7.
I didn't know that.
Clint. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not.
Really want y'all to come back and look at that
Jesus there,
how he did it.
Because they're hard. But somebody can take it and shape it, and it on to take down whatever it needs to take down.
A bear, an animal, whatever.
Whatever the arrowhead needed to take down.
Strong.
Set your faces like.
You got to decide that before you're in the situation.
Got to decide it. Jesus decided before he was on that cross that he's not going to succumb.
So you've got to choose. Look at page 28 in your book, and it's got, we don't have time to cover all these verses, but Jesus, God tells us to be holy.
How do you be holy?
Well, to be holy, you don't do some things. God is pleading. Don't lie. Don't be angry. Don't steal. Don't have wrath. Put away evil speaking, gossip, malice, fornication. We are dressed immodestly.
How many of you are married in here?
I'm married.
The world is a magazine.
Even young, for young girls, be sexy. Clothing for little six-year-old girls that has sexy across the bottom. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells any of you, unless you are married, don't be sexy.
You're not supposed to be.
The when you're supposed to be sexy?
That's a wedding band. Not the engagement ring.
The wedding band allows you and commands you to be.
But not until then.
Filthy jokes. Sexually immoral. Homosexuality.
Satan is wanting us to be
profane. Esau is profane.
He's taking something that is holy and making it common.
Taking something that is
pure and making it
unclean. You know, it's just a
white lie.
I was just talking about her just a little bit. I didn't say that much bad about her.
I didn't want to do what my mother said.
Anna, tell me some more of those
things. Really,
I didn't really mean to do that.
I didn't do that.
Say anything. Friend with everything.
I was a coward.
I was all about the guys.
I look sexy. I look so sexy. That would be bad, right?
Murder?
What about, let's see, what about adultery? Ooh. Awful.
It's the most horrible thing.
Murder. What is holy? Just a little bit of dirt. When you're a bride, do you want just a little bit of dirt on your dress? A little bit of dirt makes it ugly. It makes it so.
Sometimes, I love to garden.
Do you get what I'm saying, Anna?
Do you get it? You are holy. You're holy. Bit of dirt is ugly. Just that little lie is ugly. Scariest verse in the Bible to me is Ephesians 6:12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and the ages, the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. For all of you who like Harry Potter and all of those Batman, good against evil, makes me tremble. Do you know what?
No, but
see, it's bad. Just a little.
These people, says principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness,
and we know the devil is a roaring lion.
They're trying to get you to take your physical body and your mind and just profane it.
Profane it. That's what he wants.
Because they know that we like the lust of the flesh, we like the lust of the eyes. That one is one.
And if you think you don't have pride, look at Colossians 3:1-5. So what do you do? Got all this evil. It's around you. You're in the world. You can't get out of it. There's a way. God had a plan for us to be holy. Colossians 3, 1 through 5. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I actually know some people that worship idols. I actually do. I didn't when I was your age. I didn't know anybody that worshiped idols. I actually do. Look at verse 5 one more time. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Learnhardt. I don't know if any of you have ever heard him. He's an older preacher. I love him. He's in his 80s now, still preaching, as far as I know. In one of his books, he wrote a wonderful definition of covetousness. You will flip over to page 30 again. I want to read that. Covetousness, that spiritual disease, which causes a man to be more concerned about time than eternity. An anxiety for this life choked out all the interest in life. But I thought covetousness was wanting her pretty dress. I thought covetousness was wanting that car. That's true. Wanting what somebody else has. Yes, that's covetousness. But what if all these things, allowing them to find, that's what covetousness is. So we don't worship idols. I say you're worshiping. You're thinking about physical things all the time. So, when you can do something good for somebody, that combats the evil that's in the world. Look at Revelation 19, 7 through 8. Really like these two. They are really powerful. Revelation 19, 7 through 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. What is the bride? Who is the bride of Christ? And who is the church? The building? It's us. We're the church. Don't love the world. Believe because I'm. And what is, do you get this? What is the fine linen clean? What does that say? Somebody tell me. What is the fine linen of that? It was, she said it, the righteous acts of the saints. Every time we suffer, at every time they building, because don't think any room would want, we all want this. And the Creator of ask us to do this. It's your purpose. It's your righteous acts. And yes, that means every time in front of me, I want to just ram their car. About all the people that it must be. Bride of Christ. I'd like to ask you for your comment. God been so good.
I can't help but think of prayer in verse 22. It says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, for evil desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new. I think it's pretty hard to stop doing what we've been doing, stop lying, to stop being disobedient. Mind blowing to think, stop doing this. But in Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 4, especially 23, it says renew. You just have to constantly renew, not to get to.
That's right.
Saying.
That is very good point. Thank you. Very good.
I think. I guess speaking to girls in here who are young, I don't know if they said this last night, 7 years now, that which is unreal to me. And I can remember being younger, being 13, and thinking, well, I was a Christian, and thinking, when I get older, like, you know, I'll stop gossiping, or all that seem little, or like things that every teenage girl does. And I remember like looking up to like Anna and Kara, being like, I'll be like that. And now I'm that old. And it's, if I had started doing the things that I thought that I could do whatever, and now I am, that would just have been Like, just such a different thing, you know? But you don't think that it's a big deal because you think it's so far away. Like how I thought being as old as they were was so far away, and it's not. And they said this last night, too, like, it's the rest of your life. Sorry. It really is. Like, it's the rest of your life. And that's just so unbelievable to me. I guess it's just kind of an admonishment maybe from Saul, but to start doing these things now, because it really is so important, creeps up on you really fast.
It does. It creeps up really fast. The friend that I went hard with, she's amazing at 70. And I think, well, I want to be like her when I grow up. Me too. I think, you know, she's amazing. She's amazing. It's good to have role models. And we find answers, we find help. And like you said, it's hard if you've been doing something and you think, I need to do better. It's hard. It's not easy. Need Christians. Talked about prostitutes, drug addicts, being friends with those people. Evil companions corrupt good morals. I'm not telling you to go find a bunch of drug addicts and start running around with them. But I am telling you, if problems with drugs, how could you help that? Without compromising, without overstepping evil companions corrupt, how would you do that? We don't know how, do we? I didn't know how. How do we do that? Somebody give me an idea. What could you do if you have a friend who's struggling with drugs? Okay? Ask them to study with you. That's right. That is right. And sometimes you may not, and if you can study with them, sometimes you may not can study with them, and that's a very good point. You may just have to teach them by shining your light. And don't be the coward. They talk about drinking, you know, talk about going wherever, out partying. Help them. Help them. Grace.
I guess the first part of that is keep your excellence among the Gentiles. Like, and who's talking about being persecuted? Around Gentiles, around terribly moral. A lot of times, like, your example.
Bible knowledge.
Very, very good. Your example. It's what they read us, don't they? And we love not the world. And that is a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful tool that you have. And remember, every time you're thinking about somebody that does love the world, every time you do something good, you're adding a little pearl, adding some embroidery every time. You may not ever get a reward. Take a meal, the only person can't invite you over for a meal. But you can be paid back by knowing you did something good. God saw that, and he's got that in a book.
About helping people, and like the helping them and stuff, that in and of itself is a reward.
It is. It is.
Like seeing the look on their faces when you do something nice for somebody and they're not doing it at all.
So sometimes all you get may be a look, but do you see them?
I think that they sit there and think that you're just kind of there having all the little kids running around.
Because you know what? Just one little thing. They pay attention, don't they? Little eyes pay attention. And
I was just going to say, how would you approach somebody who's a drug addict or a prostitute? Like, you need to make sure before you start doing things like that, that you can treat, and I guess since we're all girls, that you can treat your sisters. That is like your number one most important. So before you can even start thinking about like how am I going to reach these people, you need to apply the body of Christ. Think. I have such a tendency, or at least I know I do, because we're around these people so much, you just be like, ah, whatever, you know, like, family, it's not a big deal. And you really need to make sure that you treat, like, our body well, before other people well.
You have to be careful, but that's pride. That is pride. Christian girls, that's a problem. All of you are dressed very modest, but what we can have is, if we're ever going to teach, I think very good. Thank you for listening. Hope you learned. And when you see those little markers in your Bible, read them. Okay. Thanks for listening. Oh, I have one more announcement. I forgot. I'm just hold your seat for just 1 second. There's another part of this class. I'm about to go baptize. Because Miss Sherrill has class with you. So you'll understand what I mean.
get that weird sentence out. My children know I talk in weird sentences. So I'm going to go baptize this dress for you.